sunglasses on. I'm at a funeral.
Oh, sunglasses. Yeah.
Are we live? Fuck it. Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Chaffetz, along with my good friend, best friend,
Artemis Brown.
We're coming to you this week with episode 187.
Yes.
187. Artemis.
You.
Been a week since you turned 29.
Yes.
How you feeling? You feeling old yet?
I'll tell you what, man, I do feel 29. This old back of mine, I'm starting to get some lower back pains. You know, I had to you know what I got for my 29th birthday? This is how you know you're getting old. And I loved it. I absolutely appreciated this. And I was like, I'm so happy that she did this for me. Actually got me a massage for my 29th birthday. And I was so happy she did.
I
needed that so desperately.
I actually got a massage I guess it was about 2 weeks ago now. It was my second one ever. Have you ever had a massage?
No, that was actually my first professional massage. Oh, Ashley does give me massages, and she's really, really good. But that was my first, like, professional, like, going to a place and getting a massage.
It's fantastic, man.
Like, it's great. It's great. I didn't realize how great it was. It's great.
The lady literally told me, she was like, you need to come back sooner because it took me 30 minutes just to, like, really, like, relieve the tension in your back. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. I need more of that. I can tell you the thing that makes me the most tense is watching ECU athletics.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. Not our best week. Not our best week. We've had better, but
yeah. Yeah. Like,
so what ECU does, though, you said in the chat earlier this week, they get your hopes up. They will always get your hopes up. If ECU is going to do something, they will always get your hopes up. That is, they are guaranteed to do that. Now, whether they're going to deliver or not is another story.
Yeah, we're always going to get somebody's hopes up. All right, Artie, number 87. Do you have one?
I actually do have an 87 for the week, and My 87 is not chalk. Now, I do want to mention one of my favorite wide receivers growing up was one Reggie Wayne. He wore the number 87. So I do have to give him a little special shout out because that was one of my favorite wide receivers growing up. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie Wayne. But that is not my 87 for the week. My 87 for this week is another NFL wide receiver by the name of Eric Decker. Long-time wide receiver in NFL. Had an 8-year NFL career, which by normal measures is a pretty good career. 8 years in the NFL is pretty good. Played for Minnesota in the Big Ten, was an all Big Ten, first team all Big Ten player coming out of Minnesota, third round draft pick, number 87 overall. Played for the Denver Broncos, most notably the Broncos and the Jets, was where he had his best years. And then played for the Titans for a year, played with the Patriots for a year in 2018. Pretty decent numbers, 439 receptions, over 5,000 yards, almost 6,000 yards that he had, 54 total touchdowns. So I just remember Eric Decker had a nice little 3 to 4 year run in there. I remember his name being circulated a lot from, like, you know, 2013 to 2016 or whatever it was. So that's my 87 for the week. I was not going to pick chalk, but I was going to pick a name that most sports fans should know. So Eric Decker.
Good one. Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. Yeah. I could have gone chalk. Here, I almost went chalk with Sidney Crosby, just with the news around the Carolina Hurricanes right now. One of his line mates, it's almost a done deal, being traded to the Carolina Hurricanes later tonight.
Little caveat, if I may. Does this deal put the Hurricanes in, like, a top three, top five class for Stanley Cup? Like, does this move the needle?
I mean, the Hurricanes are almost there anyways. They've been there the last 3 years in that top five class. The thing that the Hurricanes have never had is scoring, right? They've never had, like, a star elite winger, a 40-goal scorer. And the guy that they're getting, that's what he is. He's a guy that's going to go out there and probably give you 40 goals a year. Granted, he, like I said, he's not going to be playing on a line with Sidney Crosby anymore, but he's going to be playing on a line with most likely Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov. So yeah. that's maybe my take on it. But yeah, I think it puts them in a much better position than I it makes me more excited about them going into the playoffs than if they weren't to do this trade. The Hurricanes traditionally haven't made this kind of trade. So they typically don't do a rental. This guy's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. They typically don't do that.
That means they're going for it right now.
So they're going for it. I mean, they've got like 13 UFAs, unrestricted free agents, this year. So that, I mean, the team's going to be a completely different team next year. Granted, you've got your two best players locked up long term. If you can get this guy, he's going to be a good fit in the system that the Hurricanes play. Skilled on the puck. I think that what this would do is if they can get him and sign him long term, it answers a bunch of questions in the off season. It helps you get set up easily in the off season. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But Sidney Crosby is not who I'm going with. I'm going with none other than Donald Brashear.
Okay.
Played over 1,000 games professionally, 85 goals, 120 assists. He was more of a tough guy. Right. I mean, even with the numbers, he played 1,000 games, but had over 2,600 penalty minutes. Just the going back to, I believe it was sometime early 2000s. He had a huge fight with this guy. Artie, you're going to laugh at this name. The guy's name was Marty McSorley. That's his real name.
That is straight from Back to the Future. That's straight movie right there. Marty McSorley. Marty McFly.
And then he ran the Bruins goaltender that night. And the goalie had to leave on a stretcher with a knee injury.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah. I mean, Artie, that's who I would say. Donald Brashear is my number 87. But all right, Artie, let's just get into it.
Let's do it.
So just a little bit of football news came out. It was made official yesterday. But ECU has a new outside linebackers coach and defensive end coach, Enrico Zachary.
Mm-hmm.
Was the head coach at Westlake High School, but spent 3 years at Kennesaw State, along with friend of the podcast, Blake Harrell. Your thoughts on this hire and filling this role?
Yeah, look, I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you. Like, I know too much about Rico Zachary, or you know his background. I do know Westlake. That's a high school out of Atlanta. It's a pretty good high school program. And then obviously, you know, going to Kennesaw State. So, I mean, I'm excited. We're making moves. Hopefully this pans out. Hopefully, you know, this guy's coming in. He's hungry like the rest of them. You know, obviously coming in and wanting to prove a point, wanting to, you know, in a linebacker position is honestly, we talked about this weeks ago, right? Like, is the linebacker position going out of style? Is it kind of a dying breed, especially in college football? Is it really important or as important as it used to be? So hopefully he can come in and get these guys right, get these guys better. But you know, I need a little more research on my end, to be honest with you. So,
yeah, I mean, if it feels a need, and you're covering a defensive end coach, I guess this whole what we've seen in the past, Artie, is ECU's been pretty good up front, but on the outside, it seems at times we're not as strong.
Right. Like,
we've been good up the middle.
Right.
Hopefully we can get a little bit better on the outside. And we've seen decent defensive end play, but But I think there's more to be desired.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, that is one position where you definitely like that's a flagship position. You want your DNs, you want at least one solid edge rusher coming off the edge that is just an absolute menace, right? I mean, just a menace to society, is going to wreak havoc in the backfield, is going to, you know, put pressure on that line and also kind of alleviate pressure on your safeties, your corners, your linebackers as well. So the rush in is definitely what we need as far as having that guy. Blake Harrell overall, I have full faith and trust and ability that he's going to get it done from the defensive side of the ball. He's going to figure it out. I know that he's a perfectionist. So even though the defense has gone from bad to good to great, he still wants to get even better. I know it in the back of his mind, he's probably going to bed at night saying, how can I make this a top 10 defense in the country, right? Because that's just the kind of guy Blake Harrell is. So I have full faith in that. But yes, an edge rusher, if we can get a solid edge rusher that can just wreak havoc, that's all she wrote.
For sure, for sure. All right, Artie, not much news else on the gridiron. So let's turn it to the hard court. Man, ECU basketball.
Oh boy, oh boy. I wish I was wrong. I wish I was wrong.
What the hell, man? Come on.
Fortunately, I'm right about ECU basketball, but I wish I was wrong. I really, 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 really do. But you know.
And I see the discussion about, is Schwartz on the hot seat? I don't think so.
Well, we've already talked about this.
But there are some coaching lapses that occur sometimes. Not calling timeouts at the right time. Calling a timeout when you don't need to call a timeout. Fouling when we were up, what, 3? Fouling, and then they came back, tied it. I don't know, man. I feel like there's not as much awareness
right
there. He's too busy dancing on the court. I don't know if you saw the picture. He was like 2 feet away from the opposing coach's coaching box last night. So that's always fun to watch. But no, I feel like at times the situational awareness isn't there. And I don't think that ECU has played in enough ball games where they've had a chance to. Well, they've played in a bunch of close games, but I don't think they've played enough to where they know how to close out a game that's coming down to the wire.
Right.
Or they haven't done it enough. Right. Like there's certain ways to close out a game. And running down the court, I believe ECU had like 7 seconds left with a chance to win it, and just running down and not getting anything set up or anything, not calling a timeout, that's – you got to be better than that.
I mean, I would absolutely agree that, yes, you have to be better than that. But at the end of the day, it's like for those that are saying that Schwartz is on the hot seat, where are we going to find a better coach, right? Like where is that going to come? Where are we going out?
I mean, who's going to take the job?
Right.
I mean, Kevin Keats. It's a shot at NC State. Not even really a shot, but I don't know.
I think, look, we've talked about this ad nauseum as far as like what it takes for ECU basketball to turn into
a league. You got
to
cheat.
I will turn the other cheek. I will look people dead in the eyes. But I don't know what's going on at ECU.
I have said this time exactly and time again, Artie.
I don't know what's going on.
The way to if you are traditionally a not very good program, East Carolina University. If you're traditionally not a good basketball program, there's 3 ways to win. You have one miraculous season where just everything comes together, a la Florida Gulf Coast, a la Florida Atlantic, right? Like Wichita State, which Wichita State is kind of on the – they've had a decent program for the most part.
Yeah, they've been to tournaments.
But you have a magical run where people get to know your name. You make a run to the Sweet 16. You are the Cinderella of the
– Jared, I just want to get to the tournament, man. We're not talking national championships.
Right.
We're not talking Sweet 16.
No, I would take an NIT –
I just want to get to the dance. That's literally all I want. I just want to get there. I don't. We're not talking championships. I just want to get to the dance.
I don't know, man. But have a magical season. You're the Cinderella. You're blue blood, a la Kentucky, Duke, Carolina, formerly UCLA, like. Those schools that have that history, right?
Yeah.
And then number three is you cheat.
But
Larry Brown.
I don't know. I feel like a case study should be done at ECU at times too, because it's like, you know, and people can't say it's not like we can get the talent, right? Jaden Gardner, Tristan Newton, literally, we've seen these guys in East Carolina uniforms. And they've gone on to other programs, literally in the case of Tristan Newton, helped UConn win a national championship. And Jaden Gardner went to UVA and balled the hell out. It's not like we're not getting talent. The talent is there. We're not developing it. It's not wanting to stay. I don't know what it is. But it's like there's got to be a case study. Because, like, literally when I saw those two moves and then I saw what those guys did at those other universities, I'm like, oh, my God. It's not that we can't recruit. It can't be.
I mean, look at Kinston. Kinston is right down the road. How do you miss on every single guy coming out of Kinston?
And they produce NBA talent, not just one, a few.
I mean, few. Kinston has to have the most NBA players by capita.
That concentration of basketball talent is crazy. And yes, Farmville Central too. Josh has put that in the chat.
Oh, yeah.
Central is phenomenal. Absolutely.
Shout out friend of the podcast, Brandon Avery. He's gonna love that little shout out.
Yeah.
Alum of Farmville Central. But yeah, I mean, RJ Felton continued to be a man on a mission. Him and Brandon Johnson each scored 14 points against North Texas. And then you come out last night, lose by 3 in overtime. Brandon just texted us, go Jags, baby. So SMU lose by 3 in overtime, 80-77. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead.
I'll just say this, though, because just pertaining to this season in particular, right, because we've lost 4 straight games. And it's the way we're ending this regular season that's so disappointing, because we've actually had a chance to kind of end it on a positive note. We're sitting at 14-12 at one point. You had a chance to end this on a positive note, to really kind of take the reins and go into the conference tournament with some juice. And granted, we've played teams at the top of the conference over the course of the last 4 games. I get that. But it's the way we're losing. Like the game when SMU was competitive, right? That was an overtime loss, 80-77. But those other 3 losses consecutively were blowouts. They were not close. They were not competitive close games.
It's like we play up to our competition, but then we play down to our competition at times, and there's really no in between.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to make of it, but this has been ECU basketball, right? Like, there's always a chance. I mean, I think back to our freshman year back in 2013 playing Duke, and I think we lost by 9 and being excited about that, right? Like, lost by 9 to Duke. But that's – I don't know. I don't know, Artie. I don't know what to make of it. Also, shout out Josh dropping another – factoid in our chat. Oh, here.
Yeah, read that out to the people. That's absurd.
Since 1972, one out of every 53 varsity players from Kinston High School has made an NBA roster. Based on the national average, Kinston high school players are 63 more times likely to make it to the league than anyone else.
What's going on in Kinston? What's going on in the water? What do they have in the water? What are they feeding these boys? How is this possible? How is this possible? That nugget right there is absolutely absurd. That is absurd.
I don't know. I don't know, Artie. You gotta figure out how to get some of those guys to ECU. Stay home.
It's right down the road. It's next door. I don't get it.
Well,
I do get it because you got blue bloods in the state. But
yeah, I think that's the biggest hurdle.
You for got ECU legit is, blue bloods. Is,
I mean, going up against two of, if not the two most storied programs.
Yeah, you're not competing
in college basketball.
That's a dream that'll never be fulfilled. You're not competing with Duke Carolina. Not in basketball.
All right. One other shout out to RJ Felton extending his streak of double digit scoring games to 22. This weekend, Saturday, March 9th, 4 o'clock, B and Minji's. It's on ESPN Plus, paint it gold for senior day.
Yeah.
So yeah, that shout out to that. Women's basketball. The women, they dropped senior night. They dropped the game senior night against Temple. Owls honestly just blew us out of the Coliseum that night. 81-66. It never felt close. Danae McNeil, 21 points, made her the first player in ECU history to score 20 plus points in 8 consecutive games. But then, Artie, you lose on senior night, but then you go and you avenge yourself.
Yeah.
Take care of the 49ers down in Charlotte, 71-66. And I mean, sweep the 49ers. So not what we were hoping. I mean, for when we began the season, granted you've had a lot of injuries on the women's side of the game, but finished 16-13 on the year, 9-9, so 500 in conference play. You're going to be the 9 seed going into the tournament, and you got to take on Memphis. So your thoughts going into the tournament and Can the Pirates make another run in the American?
I think they can make a little noise. I don't think that they can actually make the kind of noise and make the kind of run to actually win the conference or maybe get to the semis. I think they can get to the quarters. I think they're gonna have to get to the quarterfinals. I think they make a little noise. But I just think the season's been a little too up and down. The injuries have taken their toll. And this team, you know, they're just not what they were last year. They don't have that juice that they had last year. I was thinking like a 20-9 season for this Pirate Women's Club. That's, I thought they would get 20 wins. I really did. I thought this was a team good enough to get to 20. It just didn't fall. It didn't fall in the cards like that. So I think they can make a little noise in the tournament, but as far as making a deep run, no, I don't see it.
Yeah, and I have a feeling Sunday. The game Sunday at 1 o'clock is going to be a nail biter. I mean, ECU beat Memphis on the road
right.
early in January by a point, and then lost to them at home on the 17th of February. So, I mean, this should be an absolute stunner, or as they say in ESPN or on ESPN when you play NCAA football, an instant classic. So, be glued to the TV Sunday, ESPN Plus. All right, softball didn't get to take on the Blue Devils. I mean,
yeah, got postponed. I saw that.
I believe top five. Yeah, number four in the country, Blue Devils. Yeah. Didn't get to host them this week, but you're gonna get them later in the year. You're gonna get them. I think it's on April 9th. The game's rescheduled. But, I mean, all in all, you swept the Purple Gold Invitational. Didn't have to face that top four team this week. But then you go into the next weekend and you're 21-2. Your thoughts right now on on this team?
I mean, look, I just want to throw a few numbers out here for the people that don't know, right? ECU softball, like you mentioned, 21-2. That's their best record since 2000, which, oh, by the way, was the best softball team in ECU history that went on to win 60-plus games. I think 60 games. I'm not sure. I know it was at least 60, maybe more.
There's no way. That's an absolutely asinine number.
What, 60 games?
60 wins?
60 wins? I swear I saw that earlier. I'm gonna need Josh to fact check me on that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I could swear I saw that earlier that the ECU softball team in 2000 won 60 games. Could be wrong. But Emma Jackson, this is not a lie. Batting 500 with 39 hits along with 17 doubles. It's absolutely absurd. They got 163 runs scored, 222 hits on the season. They got four players hitting over 400. Four. And they're one of six teams in the nation that is top 10 in batting average and ERA. This softball team is legit. Like, ECU softball is legit. And I don't think they're going to – now, they're about to get to the bulk of their season. You look at their record right now, you look at the teams they played, not the greatest competition. They did lose to NC State 11-2. That wasn't a great loss right there. But I think they're legit. I think they're for real. 21-2, your record is your record. Support these ladies. That's all I will say. Support these ladies. The numbers are real. The record is real. Support these ladies.
Yeah. Get out there. Support them. This weekend they'll be at North Texas, start conference play. Going down. Ari, could you tell me where North Texas is located?
Hell no. No, I cannot.
There is a town in Texas with the same name as a town here in North Carolina, close to my hometown of Lexington, called Denton, Texas.
Okay.
So okay. The more you know.
I've been to Denton before.
Yeah, you don't go to Denton past like when it gets dark. I'll just say that.
There's a few places down here in the country, you know, go to after it gets dark.
And then no midweek game next week. Next week you can catch the Pirates back home against Wichita State starting on Friday. Great opportunity. Great opportunity for the ladies.
They're legit.
I mean, why not make a run? But let's just be a bat and ball school.
Yeah.
We said it during football season, we were a basketball school. Basketball season, we're a baseball school. Hey, drop the baseball. We're just a bat and ball school.
As you know, I think I was on there saying we were basketball school before.
Well, I know I was. I know for sure I was. I will 100% admit to being on the bandwagon that we were just now a basketball school.
Yeah.
I had my blinders on. North Texas 9-11 on the season. So should be let's hope the Pirates come back with and they're 24-2. All right, Artie. Baseball. ECU still ranked number 11 in the country. That's the good. The bad, they're 7-4. Granted, yeah. they're number 33 in RPI as of two days ago. I haven't checked again today. Number 33 in RPI earlier this week. You're 0-3 on the road, 0-2 in midweek games. ECU goes 2-1 in the LeClaire Classic. Look, I see people griping about losing to Southeast Louisiana State or Southeast Louisiana University, whatever it is. Look, that's a good team. They had LSU on the ropes last night. Defending national champion LSU on the ropes last night.
Right.
And it took a miraculous game, ninth inning, to win it, I believe, for LSU. So let's not wave the white flag yet. There's plenty of season left. Hey, remember 2 years ago when we got swept by Bryant to start the season?
Right.
Or do you know what we did that year? We hosted a super regional.
I remember during that same season when we said, "Oh my God, what the hell is wrong with ECU baseball? Are we tanking? Is this the beginning of the end for Godwin? Is this like we were talking some stuff about ECU baseball that season before it got right?"
Granted, that team also got super hot. Like, I mean,
really
molten lava hot.
Won an absurd amount of games in a row.
At the end of the season, I believe the winning streak went to like 21 games. So, hey, Southeast Louisiana, not a scrub team, right? Treya Savage, dude is an absolute monster. Zach Root, also. Carter Cunningham, I mean, the dude is on an absolute
heater. Tear. Yeah, Carter Cunningham, boy.
Did he say
batting average?
JJC also. JJC also, like, getting the bat going. Pirates hit 5 home runs in a game for the first time since May 13th, 2023. So, not too long ago, but still, it's impressive when you can hit 5 home runs. But we got to be better on the base pass. Got to be better in the bullpen. That's if we can clean that up and have some better situational hitting, then I think the Pirates are going to be just fine. And let's find a guy to go in the midweek. I hesitate to say this, but I would almost have, if you have a Tuesday night game, I'm almost definitely going to Wyatt Lunsford Shankman. That would be my guy. Dude is like fourth nationally in strikeouts per 9 on the season so far. Yeah. So elite stuff, plus he brings the energy. I feel like it's hard to get up sometimes for these midweek games. So I think that's a place where ECU can be better.
Yeah, look, I'll say this about ECU baseball. Like you mentioned, 7-4, but they played a stronger than normal schedule to start the season, right? I mean, 8 games against teams that qualified for a regional last year already in their schedule. Like you mentioned earlier, Carter Cunningham is on an absolute heater. But we need a road win. I mean, we absolutely need to get on the road and get a road win to build momentum. We know what we can do in CLS. That's not an issue. We got to be able to be a better club on the road. It's got to start this week, this weekend, getting on the road, getting some wins. That's absolutely got to happen. But we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. 7-4 does not bother me whatsoever. We're going to string together some wins here. We're going to be just fine. I also want to throw this little caveat out there because Josh should put his nugget in there. I was absolutely right. I was not going bonkers or going bananas.
That's an absurd.
ECU softball went 60-17 in 2000.
That is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The fact that they were playing 77 games is insane to me.
Yeah,
these are college athletes.
Yeah.
All right, Artie. Anything else? I mean, ECU this weekend at Liberty. I'll say this. I think. I'm not calling a sweep. ECU wins the weekend and gets their first 2 road wins of the season this weekend.
Yeah, Liberty's not that good of a club. They're under 500. This could absolutely be a sweep. I'm not going to call a sweep. I definitely think 2-1. Absolutely. But this, if it's a sweep, and if it's a sweep handedly, I'm just sitting there like, yeah, it's kind of what I expected to. So, no, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, for sure. And then next week, Pirates on the road again during the midweek. I'll call it a rival. in-state rival UNCW. I mean, yeah, they're rivals in baseball and basketball.
They're a rival. They are. Yes.
I hate those Beach kids.
They're a rival.
Anything else on baseball, Artie, before we start to wrap it up? Not much else to really talk about, right?
Mild week.
Kind of a quiet week.
Got the tournament ramping up, though. We do got the basketball tournament, even though it's probably not going to be much, but we do got the tournament ramping up.
I know we say this every year. We should most definitely do a tournament challenge.
Yes. Yeah, I would love that.
We'll do one.
I wouldn't mind doing like a live one. Just doing a bracket like
live. We could do that. Hey, Josh, put that on the.
Wouldn't mind doing that.
Let's put that on the content. We'll put together a bracket. We'll put together a bracket as a podcast.
Yeah.
And see how we do, but we'll also do a bracket challenge. See if you can beat the Boneyard podcast. You'll probably be able to.
Scrap shoot.
I don't know. I typically do pretty good in the brackets. I don't know.
I do very well, you know, in the round of 64 and 32. And once we get to the Sweet 16, that's all she wrote.
Mm. All right, Artie. Moving along. Just some quick highlights. Indoor track and field. ECU won 15 events this season, including, I'm going to butcher this last name, Malicia Muzins, 60 meter title at the conference meet.
You try.
Hey, I don't know. Muzins' victory made her the first ECU woman to win a conference title in the event in program history. Also, Pirates set three new program records. Real Burris cracked the men's 300-meter dash record with a time of 33.79 for the victory at the Hokie Invite.
Who's moving?
Malicia broke two records multiple times, setting them for the final time at the American Athletic Conference Indoor Championships. Her final mark, 7.27 seconds in the 60-meter, was set even after entering the season with the record and lowering the record three times over the course of the season. We got to get this girl on.
Moving.
She's quick.
7.27 in the 60 meter. If people don't know track, that's moving.
Oh, yeah.
That's moving.
And then her 23.38 in the 200 meter was the final mark, but she snapped the 200 meter record. That's that. Artie, you were a track guy. What was your event?
My event was a 200. So that was my event was the 200. My best 200 was like a 24 something, to be honest with you. I was like a 24.2, 24.1 kind of guy. Not terrible. I got the regionals. I made state. I didn't make state. I only made regionals. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I didn't make states. I made regionals my junior and my senior year.
I was also, believe it or not, on the track and field team. If you couldn't guess, I was a shot put and discus thrower.
We know. We know.
Artie, I'll say there were times at practice where I ran more than anybody else on the team.
Nah, look, at Northwest, the shot put and distance, or not distance, but the shot put and you know, discus, they ran. Oh, they got put to work.
We got in trouble one. We got in trouble one meet, and some guys got caught. Maybe it was a common thing in high school track and field, people stealing the shot put and discus from other schools, like leaving yours behind because you like the others somewhere else. And we got caught doing that. I won't name names. There's some people that are pretty famous now that were caught, but. We had to run. There was one day, I think we ran 15 miles at practice. Mm. We ran like three cross country complexes. We had to run. Our warm up was a 2 mile. Our cool down was a 2 mile. And then in between we ran hills. So we got it given to us.
Mm.
We didn't throw all week. That was one day of practice. The next day was a little less, but it was rough. It was absolutely rough. Artie, I did run the Fat Man Relay though.
I love the Fat Man Relay.
The fat
that was the event that everybody, if you did track, the Fat Man Relay was what everybody was excited for.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, it's the main event of a high school track meet.
We love that.
I mean, you'd go somewhere and everybody on the team had to be over 200 pounds, and it was a 4x100 relay. I ran the second leg. So, believe it or not, I contributed to a couple wins. So, It's not an official event, but everybody wants to see it. That's what the people come to see. The Fat Man Relay.
Fat Man Relay was fantastic. No regrets watching the Fat. That was fantastic. Loved the Fat Man Relay.
All right, Artie. Do you have a walk the plank?
Ooh. I said last week I was going to have a walk the plank, but I'm going to be honest with you. Ain't really much happened. Nothing's really happened. Nothing's really happened. You had a good one before the show, so I'm liking the one that you have that you're going to mention. But no, I don't have a walk the plank this week. I may think of one while you're talking, but I don't have one right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the name of the school.
What state was this?
It's New Jersey.
New Jersey. Of course it was Jersey.
So Manasquan High School and Camden High School,
like New Jersey,
basically, I think it was Camden that ended up winning. Manasquan, is that legit, Josh?
It's probably Manasquan.
I don't know. in my southern accent, Manasquan.
You got to throw the ass in there.
Man ass. No, so basically team goes up, scores, there's time left on the clock. The other team runs down the court, layup. You can see, granted, this is a high school basketball event. It's not on TV, so there's no instant replay. There's no, let's go to the monitor and check it. You can see there's 0.4 seconds left on the clock. Like, this guy, somebody's filming from the other end of the court. You can see the ball in the air. You see the ball go in, and you can see the score clock right behind them, 0.4 seconds. Ball drops. They call it. Ball's good. Team storms the court.
Yeah.
Then the refs get together. And they say, you know what? We don't think that was a good shot. We think the buzzer went off before the shot. The ball was hitting the ground as the buzzer went off.
Josh has a video, by the way. He said he can show the video.
Roll the clip, Josh. Here we go. Is there a way to pause it to see how much time was left on the clock? I swear there was 0.4 seconds. The ball's in the air. 0.4 seconds.
Wow. No, that's a good bucket. That's clearly a good bucket.
That's a good bucket every day and twice on Sunday.
The ball's at the bottom of the net when it hits triple zeros.
That's what I'm saying. And then they overturn it.
Wow.
So that's my walk the plank. New Jersey High School. That's a deserved walk.
And look, you robbed those kids. I mean, that's a moment that, because a lot of these kids are not going to play college ball and, like that. And you robbed these kids of that moment. So
to double down, RE, the North or the New Jersey High School Athletic Association, whatever they're called, reviewed the tape and still wouldn't overturn it. So, walk the damn
plank. That's sports, though. Honestly, that is, in a nutshell, that is sports. You get
robbed of
things, and that is life. So,
just like East Carolina Athletics at times robs me of joy, you get robbed.
It's not fair, but life is not fair sometimes.
Life is not fair. But Artie, that's all I got.
Yeah.
Gambling corner next week. Next week, Artie, what's your first pick gonna be? What's your first bet gonna be on?
Oh God, you know.
What's your sport? Are you gambling basketball?
I'm probably gambling. I mean, I'm gambling basketball and football, but you know, obviously we got to watch for football. When NBA playoffs start up, I'm thinking I'm probably gonna get a little ramped up for that. I'm a big NBA. When April comes around, May comes around, NBA playoffs start, I love NBA playoff basketball. So that's probably when I'm gonna get kind of into the sports gambling a little bit.
Whatever you do, let's put a mortgage payment on ECU to
we put no mortgage payment on there.
Hit the over and wins next year.
No, we put no mortgage
payment. Make yourself some coin. Okay,
I've already given East Carolina University enough of my money. I don't know if we're doing that.
Well, you're not giving it to them. You're giving it to some that gambling conglomerate.
That is true.
But all right, Artie, let's close it out. Shout out to the Variety Sports Network. I forgot to shout them out at the beginning of the podcast, but go check them out. Lots of great content. NHL trade deadlines tomorrow. Five hole podcast. Check us out. Lots of great content around college sports. Baseball's getting started. Seventh inning stretch. Lots of great content happening there. Make sure you follow us on social media at Boneyard Podcast and then at The Boneyard Podcast on TikTok, at Boneyard Podcast on X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And while we're talking about YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube. If you're watching right now, which I know a lot of you are, make sure you hit the subscribe button. If you don't, you can walk the damn plank. All right? Just like New Jersey High School. I don't know why I want to keep saying North Carolina High School. Maybe because, yeah. Anyways, and then leave us a review. If you listen on Apple, if you listen on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, leave us a 5-star review. If you do, you're best friend of the podcast for life. If not, you can walk your happy ass down the plank too. So, Artie, say the damn thing and let's get the hell out of here.
Hey, as always, Pirate Nation, we love you. Wash your hands, wash your butts, stay clean out there, stay healthy. Until next time. Deuce.